I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is a safe space for independent thinkers out there. You know, your mind is a muscle, and we work out every day here for a couple of hours. It's Wednesday. Speaking of working out, we're going to do Hump Day Health next hour, as we do every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. It is natural health news you can use. Certainly not a new story, but a very important story to put COVID-19 into some level of perspective. And we're going to talk additionally about a little bit of nutrition information that's come out around there. I mean, if the media is going to breathlessly report to you about remdesivir, well, they will give you no nutritional guidance on this stuff. So that's my little niche. Every Wednesday and peppered through my shows during the rest of the week, I'm going to give you some little tips and tricks for pennies a day. You can do things to protect yourself from whether it's coronavirus, the seasonal flu, or even cancer. Pennies a day. Nutritional stuff is out there to keep you and keep your loved ones healthy. And I got to tell you, it's at this point, and some of the stuff I'll talk about next hour, it doesn't even require any effort. It's not only not expensive, the effort is absolutely minimal. Yet it's completely ignored. I rail about this all the time. I won't get caught up in it right now. But if you want to be healthy, you want to stay healthy, you want to look better, you want to feel better, you want to think better, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 o'clock is a good tool for you to do that. In the meantime, we will take a look at the insane world around us. Jackson, yesterday, I caught just a little bit of the press conference of Chokwe Lumumba. I don't know what he was wearing. It looked like he had pulled a dress up over his face. I'm not sure what he was wearing. But he has reluctantly reopened, realizing that Jackson was going to be this island in the middle of all these other dangerous societies that were opening up. And the idea was, well, we better go ahead and open up Jackson, because if we don't, all of our citizens are going to go to Madison and Ridgeland and Richland and Flowood, and they're going to eat and they're going to bring the disease back to us. There's nothing we can do. We're all going to die. So they're going to begrudgingly allow Jackson to reopen. You know, this is a really would be a great time for an experiment. Just really an absolute, easily quantifiable experiment right now. If Jackson would just stay shuttered and other areas around, just little pockets could open or close and people could stay at home or go out. And then within the next 6 months to a year, we'd have a pretty clear picture of what the winning strategy was. Now, maybe reopening has its dangers. If Brandon reopened, if the city of Flowood reopened, would a bunch of people in Flowood die? It would just be, this is just such a wonderful time to be able to really run these experiments. It shows what a free society looks like and how it prospers and how it ends up being, whether it's health-wise or economically or even happiness, versus a closed society cowering in fear, waiting for a green light from your government. We would really get some pretty rapid results on that. I don't think we're ever going to have necessarily the opportunity to do that. Yesterday, even more importantly, maybe I need to add some blood pressure stuff into my Hump Day Health next hour because of this that came across yesterday, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Again, I ask, why in the world is Dr. Fauci still being allowed to be the face of this thing? Whole country's been hijacked by Fauci Gates cabal. Dr. Fauci was talking yesterday, and he was talking about reopening schools, not this week, not next week, not for summer school, but he was talking about even in the fall.
This case, that the idea of having treatments available or a vaccine to facilitate the reentry of students into the fall term would be something that would be a bit of a bridge too far. As I mentioned, the drug that has shown some degree of efficacy was modest and it was in hospitalized patients, not yet or maybe ever to be used either yet as prophylaxis or treatment. So if the issue is that the young individuals who'll be going back to school would like to have some comfort in that there's a treatment, probably the thing that would be closest.
Okay. I wonder if, is he about to start talking about nutrition? I wonder if Dr. Fauci is about to say, if you want something that's close to a prophylaxis, what you do is you dial in your nutrition, make sure you're getting all your essential vitamins and minerals every single day, boost your levels of vitamin D. I wonder if he's going to say that. Let's see.
To utilization then would likely be passive transfer of convalescent serum.
Oh,
but we're really not talking
blood
about
plasma.
Necessarily treating a student who gets ill, but how the student will feel safe in going back to school. If
you know, I don't know how many times in the past week I've kind of rubbed my face. This is an audio medium, right? But let me tell you, I do all of the movements that you would in a normal conversation when you're just exacerbated by something. So they're talking now, I guess the University of California has announced that they will only be doing online. There will be no fall school for the University of California system, no in-person classes. We have reached absolute insanity. You've got to tune in to the next hour. And I'll place give you a little bit of historical perspective, some modern-day historical perspective on what we're doing now versus what we have done in the past. And I got to tell you, I don't know how. I'm just trying to wrap my mind. This stuff has really kind of come over the past week, this idea that schools, even in the fall, may not be in session. And I've got to wrap my mind around exactly how I get out there and address this. I have got a couple of kids planning on attending Ole Miss in the fall. And I don't need to make sure my voice is heard. Is there any possibility, because again, even with a Republican legislature, Republican governor here, we have taken these draconian measures in this state. So I don't have any faith that the University of Mississippi will be bold enough to buck the trend of fear and just say, look, kids know what the deal is. Be careful. Campus will be open. We go on with our lives here. But I will make sure that my voice is heard in that way. There was one person yesterday who kind of stood up to Anthony Fauci and his proclamations of all the doom and gloom awaiting his vaccine. What is the payday for this guy going to be on the other side of this thing? I can't even imagine. To do what he's doing right now, the profit motive on this must be astronomical. I mean, really big.
Well, Dan, tell you definitively if that's the case.
And I think that's important because in all likelihood is a good way of...
And again, this is Rand Paul. I got to tell you, see, libertarians aren't real hip on the idea of a government overlords shutting down private businesses and restraining travel. This is the difference really when it comes to... Now, Rand Paul is a Republican from Kentucky. Most people know who Rand Paul is. But he's a libertarian-leaning guy. His dad, famously, Ron Paul, a very libertarian Republican. They actually believe a lot of these things. Like, they don't just say them to get elected. The people who are libertarian-leaning Republicans, they kind of take this stuff to heart. You know, things like personal freedoms and not overspending and not waging needless wars. They're actually serious about these things. They don't pay them lip service. You know, we get a lot of the Mississippi delegations about, yeah, we need to have an adult conversation about spending. That's what they say. Libertarian-leaning Republicans like Thomas Massie actually stand in the way of the $2.2 trillion behemoth bailout bill. And, of course, he's castigated for it, and Donald Trump wants him run out of the Republican Party for it. But libertarians, much more principled Republicans than the vast majority of them.
putting it, the vast majority of these people have immunity. Instead of saying there is no evidence, you know, the WHO kind of fed into this by saying no evidence of immunity. And in reality, there's every evidence stacking up. And in fact, a lot of the different studies have shown that it is very unlikely that you get it again in the short term. With regard to going back to school, one thing that was left out of that discussion is mortality. I mean, shouldn't we at least be discussing what the mortality of children is? This is for Dr. Fauci as well. You know, the mortality between 0 and 18 in the New York data approaches zero. It's not going to be absolutely zero, but it almost approaches zero. Between 18 and 45, the mortality in New York was 10 out of 100,000. So really, we do need to be thinking about that. We need to observe with an open mind what went on in Sweden, where the kids kept going to school. The mortality per capita in Sweden is actually less than France, less than Italy, less than Spain, less than Belgium, less than the Netherlands, about the same as Switzerland. But basically, I don't think there's anybody arguing that what happened in Sweden is an unacceptable result. I think people are intrigued by it, and we should be. I don't think any of us are certain when we do all these modelings. There have been more people wrong with modeling than right. We're opening up a lot of economies around the U.S., and I hope that people who are predicting doom and gloom and saying, oh, we can't do this, there's going to be a surge, will admit that they were wrong if there isn't a surge, because I think that's what's going to happen. In rural states, we never really reached any sort of pandemic levels in Kentucky and other states. We have less deaths in Kentucky than we have in an average flu season. It's not to say this isn't deadly, but really outside of New England, we've had a relatively benign course for this virus nationwide. And I think the one size fits all that we're going to have a national strategy and nobody's going to go to school is kind of ridiculous. We really ought to be doing it school district by school district. And the power needs to be dispersed because people make wrong predictions. And really the history of this, when we look back, will be of wrong prediction after wrong prediction after wrong prediction, starting with Ferguson in England. So I think we ought to have a little bit of humility in our belief that we know what's best for the economy. And as much as I respect you, Dr. Fauci, I don't think you're the end all. I don't think you're the one person that gets to make a decision. We can listen to your advice, but there are people on the other side saying there's not going to be a surge and that we can safely open the economy. And the facts will bear this out. But if we keep kids out of school for another year, what's going to happen is the poor and underprivileged kids who don't have a parent that's able to teach them at home are not going to learn for a full year. And I think we ought to look at the Swedish model, and we ought to look at letting our kids get back to school. I think it's a huge mistake if we don't open the schools in the fall. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can I respond to that, even though there are only 32 seconds left?
Yes, and you might make it clear whether or not you suggested that.
I thought he was going to get to this where Fauci said, well, I don't hold myself out as the be-all, end-all, the end-all of all this stuff. Well, I got to tell you, America has taken some drastic steps based on your words and some deadly wrong ones. Absolutely deadly wrong ones. I ask again, why is Anthony Fauci still the mouthpiece for the federal government when it comes to our virus response? I've actually got some great news today, too. A couple of really, really great stories. I'm going to get a couple of annoying things out of the way, and then we're going to move into some really good developments. You know, there's always a silver lining to everything, and starting to see people understand that they have the power and they're going to stand up to this ridiculousness. We should have done this a long time ago, but we allowed this security state, this nanny state to envelop us because it was always going after people that weren't us, right? Oh, we didn't care when it was just other people. But at least it's finally gotten to the level where it's coming for the vast majority of us, and some people, particularly on the right, are finally waking up. That's good news. I'll be right back.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No, bad. No, wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition.
If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling on citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
Apparently, Nancy Pelosi has shown up with a $3 trillion new stimulus bill. What is this, phase five or whatever it is? These phases are cracking, the phases of the trade. Yeah, we're back at a trade, another trade war again. Phase one is basically blowing up. And we're in phase five, I guess, of the response to coronavirus with this $3 trillion. Now, I'm not saying this will pass, although I'll talk about that in a second. With this $3 trillion, I guess the announced programs between the Federal Reserve and the Treasury would be somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe $12 to $13 trillion. It's very interesting to me. Why do you need $12 or $13 trillion when you've had an economic slump of $4 to $6 trillion, right? I mean, even on the high side, the GDP of this country, all economic activity, this entire country, is around $2 trillion a month. It's a $22 trillion annual GDP. So I'm even being generous here. It's $2 trillion a month. We've been out of work, out of business, shut down for 2 months. Let's go ahead and make it 3 months. That's $6 trillion. Why do you need $12 or $13 trillion to fill that hole? See, this is what I'm telling you. The problems already existed. The problems were already there. The problems are worse. They're trying to cover it up with this response to COVID. But a $3 trillion program coming out of Nancy Pelosi. Republicans are going to oppose it, of course, because they want to pretend like they care about spending and money. What kind of moral high ground can the Republicans stand on it at this point anymore? Even when they controlled all three, the House, the Senate, and the presidency, they still ran up $1 trillion debts each year. How do you look the American people in the face and say, oh, well, yes, we allow the Federal Reserve to pump out, right now they're approaching somewhere around $8 or $9 trillion. We allow the Federal Reserve, which is all backstopped by the American taxpayer. Again, I will tell you, you are the collateral for what the Federal Reserve does. I know it's done behind the scenes and it's all boring. We don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about Pelosi and Maxine Waters and Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell and all the players. But when the Federal Reserve takes an action, you are the collateral on that action. The Federal Reserve has pumped out $7, $8, $9 trillion. We really don't know how much by now. So how do the Republicans look the Americans in the face and go, oh, this is just ridiculous. We can't do this this $2,000 a month thing. I need to find the clip. Larry Kudlow was on the Sunday shows this weekend. No, you haven't tuned into some radical leftist show. I'm a libertarian guy. I can't stand either one of these parties. Nancy Pelosi is a train wreck and an absolute disaster as a human being and a politician. Let me get that out of the way. The Republicans are just slightly better. Let me see if I can find this. I made this note. This is on another day's sheet here. Larry Kudlow came out, went to the Sunday shows. And yeah, he said $9 trillion. This was basically his quote. I don't have it quoted here. He said, we've put out $9 trillion to help 175 million people in this country. We think this was a robust response to this, and we're going to get our economy right back by the fall. Now, that kind of struck me. I thought, huh. And so I did what I do, being the math nerd I am. I thought, well, $9 trillion, that's an interesting statistic. And he says it went out to help 175 million people. That's a pretty easy calculation. Let me figure it out. $51,428 per person. Anybody received their check? I mean, that's Larry Kudlow. He's the chief economic advisor of the country. He says $9 trillion went out to help 175 million people. That's almost a direct quote. That's $51,428 per person. I don't know anybody who's received a $51,000 check. I know some people who've gotten $1,200. So where do you think the other $49,000 per citizen went. It went to Wall Street on your behalf. Maybe it's kind of like, you know, during a birthday or something, or someone gets, in lieu of gifts, if you would, make a contribution to your favorite charity, you know, in your name, something like that. You know, instead of sending me a birthday gift, they just send something to the Mississippi Animal Rescue League that says Mike Madison has made a $50 donation. That's great when you're talking about charity. I don't know. I'm down for them signing me up for $49,000 to go to Wall Street, but that's exactly what's happened. And it's going to get worse. $3 trillion, Nancy Pelosi. And she's going to get a vast majority of this. I told you a while back, Nancy Pelosi is a political genius, a scumbag, an evil, corrupt politician, to be sure. But she's a genius. Do you remember the last stimulus bill? The Republicans wanted $250 billion. Nancy Pelosi came and loaded it down with a bunch of pork, and everybody called her every name in the book. But in the end, how much was that bill worth? $650 billion. The Republicans gave her $400 billion of what she was looking for. You know, maybe she asked for a trillion. She's crazy like a fox. So she's going to put out this $3 trillion bill. No, and there's no way she'll get it. And the Republicans get their political theater talking points. Gosh, by golly, we're not going to sign a $3 trillion bill. This is absolutely insane. We can't do all this stuff. And Nancy's just sitting back going, all right, let's negotiate. And they come back and they go, oh, we're just going to make it $2.1 trillion. And Nancy just hangs up the phone and laughs. I would have done with $1.5 trillion. But what moral authority do the Republicans have to stand on to tell the American people? They've put themselves into their own box. You're going to tell a bunch of people that they can't have all this fresh bailout cash while you signed off on trillions and trillions and trillions of new debt, while you sat by while the Pentagon lost $8.5 to $21 trillion. Nobody knows. They can't pass an audit. You've been shoveling money into the Pentagon for decades. You've been shoveling money into the national debt for decades. So I agree with them. I agree with Mitch McConnell and the Republicans to say a $3 trillion bill is absolutely insane. But what moral authority do they have to stand on? I mean, the American people are watching Wall Street get shoveled money. Spoon-fed money. There are some programs that have gone to Wall Street since the beginning of these bailouts where the banks said, wow, we didn't even ask for that much. The Pentagon has had programs where they have said, oh, we get that much? Huh, we weren't even looking for that much, but that's great. See, when the Republicans gave up the moral authority on spending, I don't know, decades ago, but particularly since the year 2000 under George W. Bush, it makes it very hard to tell the American people when you send out trillions to Wall Street, pretty difficult to look the American people in the eye and say, well, we can't keep doing these ridiculous unemployment checks, because people notice. People notice the trillions going to the elites among us. One other thing on Republicans, it's just funny to me. The AFP reports another group of Republican senators have proposed the COVID-19 Accountability Act, which, if passed, will give Trump 60 days to certify to Congress that China has provided a full accounting to an independent body, such as the UN, of what happened with the virus. It's closed all its highest risk wet markets. See, they're still talking about the wet markets as being the source of this thing. And has released all Hong Kong activists arrested recently. Failure to do so would authorize Trump to impose sanctions such as an asset freeze, travel bans, visa revocations, and restrict Chinese businesses' access to the U.S. banking system and capital markets. I got to tell you, it's pretty tough to play hardball with your biggest creditor. See, the Republicans and the Democrats, all these scumbags in Washington, D.C., have been begging the Chinese for money for decades. And now they loaned us $1.3 trillion, and now we act all hardcore like we don't need them. And again, all these people who are really ready to hold China accountable, I'm with you. That's fine. But isn't it funny that Republicans, suddenly they want to hold somebody accountable? Have you ever noticed with politicians in both parties, they always are ready for accountability and investigations of the other side. There's no accountability for the soon-to-be $30 trillion of U.S. debt, is there? No, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about the insolvency of Medicare and Medicaid. No accountability for that. We don't want to talk about the missing Pentagon money. We don't want to talk about the state of the American health insurance market. We don't want to talk, you know, there's no accountability for anything, but boy, we're going to hold China accountable. That's really tough. You never self-examine yourself, but you're always ready to hold somebody else accountable. It just kind of cracks me up. All right, I'm going to move on to some pretty positive news. I'm going to start negative, and then I'm going to swing hard positive in just a second. A couple of good stories. Hopefully I've got time for them. Stay with me. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYD.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. We're going to show you that right now. It's some of the news. There's some really horrible stuff out there, and there's some green shoots a-shining. Gotta say. You want to talk about best of times? How about this for a segue? You just got this in. I want to remind everybody, forego your big box stores and head out to locally owned Revel Ace Hardware, please. And they have got a great outdoor department at Revel Ace Hardware. Check this out. I mean, I got to tell you, I was pretty floored by this. I have been in the lawn service business before. You know, went out and I owned a janitorial company, and we added on lawn services and lawn maintenance, that kind of stuff, as a part of our thing. Really nice business in the spring and in the fall when the weather's nice. I got to tell you, I wasn't that fond of running the crew in July. But anyway, the grass is growing, particularly if you've got land or if you've got a business or if you've got land that you need to take care of. Revel Ace Hardware and Revel Outdoor now sell trailers. They have got a bundle package. Check this out. This is a bundle package from Revel Ace Hardware. A Gravely zero-turn mower, a trailer, a steel trimmer, blower, and chainsaw, all for just $97 a month. That is your outdoor package. You take care of everything, and you've got the newest, the latest, the greatest way to take care of your property, or if you want to go out and start a lawn business. I'm telling you, this is the way to do it. You can get 0% interest right now, package deals to fit any budget right there. They are the largest Gravely zero-turn mower dealership in the state, I believe. So you need to go and check them out. That's Revel Ace Hardware, locally owned. You know, this is the time, people, we need to get behind our local businesses, and Revel Ace is one of our true all-stars in that area, so please support them. All right, I'm going to get the bad news out of the way first, then I'm going to take a break, and then I'm going to come back with something that is just fantastic. You may have already seen it. A Fresno, California waffle restaurant dared to open its doors for business this weekend to the delight of a long line of customers who waited up to 2 hours for the privilege of willingly spending their money in a business happy to serve them breakfast on Mother's Day. Thanks to a cell phone video, we saw the police show up in force and try to push through the crowd waiting outside. An elderly man who was next in line to enter was indignant, complaining that he had been waiting 2 hours to eat at the restaurant and was not about to step aside while the police shut the place down. The police proceeded to violently handcuff and arrest this elderly man, dragging him off while his wife followed sadly behind him to the police car. And we have seen this time and time and time again. And this is, again, an appeal to the law and order folks, that just because a politician utters or votes on some measure, that somehow just because it is codified into some letter of the law somewhere, that enforcement of it is morally just. You can always appeal it at the court level. This is what we've heard for forever. Civil asset forfeiture? They take your cash out of your car because you've got money and they don't think that you have any good reason to carry money. You can figure that out in court. Yeah, so people do that. They end up spending tens of thousands of dollars to rightfully reclaim property that was never part of a criminal enterprise anyway. So this stuff is happening. When I come back, though, have you seen this? What's this police officer's name? Shout it from the rooftop. Police Officer Greg Anderson, former Special Forces military veteran, and now with the Seattle Police Department, put out a little video talking to all of the police officers across this country, and I got to tell you, I couldn't be more happy to see him. This guy needs to be running the Department of Justice. We're going to listen to Police Officer Craig Anderson when we come back. It is truly good stuff. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. All right, people, we have got a hero in our midst. Not here directly. Hopefully there's people that are sympathetic to this. If you're in law enforcement, I hope you will listen to this next segment. This guy is Officer Greg Anderson. He's with the Seattle Police Department. He put out a video as he's sitting there in his cruiser in all of his gear. This is a tough-looking dude. He's former Special Forces. This is the day that civil libertarians need to try to use as a teachable moment. A lot of people out there believe that you just don't break the law, that if you break the law, you pay the price. You don't examine the law itself. You just say, if a politician uttered it, if a few people voted on it, if enough hands went up, then the police are just doing their job and they should just enforce whatever it says. And then we can challenge it in court. And the biggest thing that I've seen, and I want people to listen to this with an open mind, because, see, this finally affects enough people to where you see when your rights are curtailed. It's not fun, is it? For choices you've made, like this elderly man who took his wife out for Mother's Day to get a waffle, and he finds himself in a cage. I'm bad about going after the war on drugs. And that's not popular on conservative radio because drugs are bad. Well, if drugs are bad, then teach your kids to stay off drugs and stay away from drugs. I don't do drugs. Well, we've been putting people in cages for consuming a plant, but it's actually more than that. It's how they consume the plant, right? Because if you sit around and watch the Super Bowl and drink four beers, you've just consumed four mind-altering cans of plant extract, fermented plants. You like a nice glass of wine or Chardonnay every now and then? I know Chardonnay is a wine. I didn't mean to say or, but you know what you're having? You're having fermented plants. How about that bottle of whiskey? That you got a couple of them, don't you? At your home bar, you got some whiskey, you got some vodka, you got some gin. Plants, plants, plants. It's all plants. But if you have a certain kind of plant and you consume it in a different way, then you should be in a cage. And this is asinine. It hasn't worked. And it is against the American system. Anyway, as we've seen these lockdowns and police just executing the orders of these new tin pot dictators that we've got across this country right now, one police officer, at the risk of his termination, which is the key of this whole point, and he'll talk about that too, is standing up to it. And it is an inspirational moment. I'm going to let this man talk for quite a while here.
You know, as a police officer, I'm compelled to make this video. I've been in law enforcement for 10 years, and I'm speaking to my peers, other fellow officers, people in any kind of law enforcement position. I've seen officers nationwide enforcing tyrannical orders against the people. And I'm hoping it's the minority of officers, but I'm not sure anymore, because every time I turn on the television, every time I look to the internet, I'm seeing people arrested or cited for going to church, for traveling on the roadways, for going surfing, opening their businesses, going to the park with their families, or doing nails out of their own house, using their own house as a place of business, and having undercover agents go there and arrest them and charge them with what? With a crime? I don't know what crime people are committing by doing nails in their own house, but we're seeing this more and more and more, and we need to start looking at ourselves as officers and thinking, is what I'm doing right? Now, I want to remind you that regardless of where you stand on the coronavirus, we don't have the authority to do those things to people just because a mayor or a governor tells you otherwise. I don't care if it's your sergeant or your chief of police. We don't get to violate people's constitutional rights because somebody in our chain of command tells us otherwise. It's not how this country works. Those are de facto arrests. You know, we're violating people's rights and taking money from them, or even worse, arresting them and depriving them of their freedom when they are exercising their constitutional rights. So let's talk about that. Let's read something right here off of the Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal. Among these, we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their power from the consent of the governed, meaning our power and any government official's power is derived from the people. Okay? We don't hold power over our citizens. It's contradictory to everything that our country stands for. And this is what I'm seeing. First Amendment rights, telling people they can't go to church, freedom of religion. Okay? Telling people they can't protest, freedom of assembly. Fourth Amendment violations, illegal traffic stops to check for papers. What are you, the Gestapo? Is this 1930s Nazi Germany? You don't get to stop people unless you have reasonable suspicion or probable cause that they have committed a crime. And I know people that have personally been stopped saying, we want to see papers showing that you're essential.
David, you copy a phone call.
That is not how our job works. Okay. What really has been pissing me off lately is the fact that these officers that are going out here and enforcing these tyrannical orders, what they're doing is they're making my job and my safety, or they're putting my job and my safety at risk. Because what you're doing is you're widening the gap between public trust and law enforcement officers.
Amen.
And what that's going to do is it's going to, I mean, look at what's happened to law enforcement in the last 10 years. Less and less public trust, and more often than not, that is a result of isolated incidents that get blown out of proportion. They're not isolated anymore. They're happening every single day. And the thing that I want you guys to realize is that our power that we hold as law enforcement officers, it's nothing more than a facade. It's a badge and a gun. And people, you don't realize, if you haven't lived in anarchy, if you haven't seen combat, things can be stripped from people in a heartbeat. And that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that these actions are going to wake a sleeping giant, i.e. the American people, okay? They are going to be put in a position where they won't have their rights trampled anymore. And us as law enforcement officers, we'll have our ability to enforce the law stripped from us in about 10 minutes, okay? I think what is going to happen if this continues is we're going to see bloodshed in the streets, okay? I don't want to see bloodshed in the streets on either side of this coin. I don't want to see fellow officers get injured or killed, and I certainly don't want to see citizens get injured or killed. And I promise you, most of you out there, doing these tyrannical acts against our citizens, you're not ready for combat. You're not mentally or physically ready for combat in the first place. I promise you, you don't want to go through that. And I hope I never have to go through that again. You know, you don't get to just say, well, I'm doing this because I was told to do so, or I'm following orders, or I need to keep this job. Guess what? I need to keep this job more than anybody. I have 3 young children. I have 2 houses. Like, I have the same sob story that the rest of you guys have. But my personal choices and my living arrangements, no matter what they are, don't allow me to trample on people's rights. And I don't understand why that concept is so hard for people to understand.
Because it's been ingrained on us for decades now. Boy, is he right. That's a hero. He has been put on administrative leave right now, still being paid, at risk of being fired, and he knows it. A GoFundMe has been established for Anderson, which has already raised over $250,000 as of this writing, exceeding its original goal of $50,000. So this guy is going to be okay one way or the other. Because again, I've told you, courage, leading with courage, has its own rewards. For those of us who love to keep our heads down and wait till the crowd goes with something, no. If something is wrong, you speak out against it, and a lot of people are rewarded for that. I would say, I would hope that sentiments like this would go even further in the, with this police officer, and he may be well ahead of it. I mean, this guy is obviously thinking. He's thinking, not just accepting, not just going through the motions, not just accepting dictates from the top. He's stopping and going, holy cow, what are we doing here? But for those of you listening, I hope that you would think, too, that the endless SWAT raids. I've talked about these things. SWAT raids over the last few decades have gone from like $3,000 a year to something like $85,000 a year. Civil asset forfeiture, I've talked about. Just stripping citizens of their cash because it seems, quote unquote, suspicious. Seatbelt laws. This guy's a veteran. We impose these kinds of restrictions on countries. We invade them, and then we bust into their houses, and we abuse them, and it creates the same situation. It puts our troops in greater danger because they've created a hostile environment. And I would also say, for those of you out there, I hope the police will embrace this man's sentiments, but also if you work for the NSA, you're spying on Americans, we don't care you got a house. You shouldn't be doing that. You work for the FBI, and you're prosecuting people for political or career purposes. You work for the IRS and you're abusing your fellow citizens. If you're a local DA and your political ambitions and first priority are just forcing people to get plea deals so that you get your prosecution rates up, shame on all of you. Shame on all of you. The American people should stop putting up with all this stuff. It's time for civil liberties to be popular again. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. Every single Wednesday, we take a break from politics, at least. A little more current events in the show these days. But we discuss natural health nutritional strategies for what might be ailing you, ways to take control of your own personal health. This show is podcast. If you miss it one week or you want to share it with somebody else, there's a couple of ways to do that. You can get the podcast. You can get it on Apple Podcast. Just search for The Mike Madison Show. You can go to podbean.com and search for The Mike Madison Show. It's actually themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. You can go to WYAB and find it. It's also on the TuneIn app and maybe other places. I didn't even know it was on TuneIn. But you can get the podcast. You can just look for it. If you're just interested in the health stuff, you can just go look for the Wednesday shows. If you like the political stuff, you can get that there too. Or you can, if I discuss a story, I've got some links and stuff I'm going to discuss today you may be interested in when it comes to COVID-19. You can always email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I'll send you my health show notes. A lot of good information in there, even some links to stuff I don't discuss, which you may or may not be interested in. When I started researching nutritional stuff, I became very interested in it. I find it pretty fascinating, and the benefits to myself are tremendous. I start every show by explaining I'm not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist, not a surgeon, not a therapist, not a nurse. I'm not a nothing. Got no certification to advise you on your health. I'm just some dude who about 15 years ago didn't want my daughter to go into puberty at age 7, which seemed to be happening. So I started doing a little bit of research, and I thought, oh, I think I need to get chemicals out of my food. I think I need to maybe switch to some organic stuff, change a few habits, make a few tweaks there. 15 years later, I haven't had a single sick day. I'm in that. Not a single day have I been sick in 15 years. I may get hit by a bus tomorrow, but I've had a good 15 years since then. So that's why I'm so passionate about it. I've got a couple of kind of little housekeeping stuff before I get into the meat of the show today. I am always, I want to start including these in the show a little bit more. Some little hacks that I do personally that I think are helpful to my health. I talk about some of them, fasting and things like that. Here's a weird one. But it is a health topic when you stop and think about it. I try to not use a ton of toxic chemicals around my house. Febreze will really make your house smell good. I will tell you that. No denying that. But if you start looking at stuff and you want to take down the overload of chemicals that you're exposed to, those air fresheners are just full of all kinds of stuff you really don't want to be inhaling on a regular basis. So I use things like... I found a recipe for water with, I think it's baking soda with some essential oils, and you shake it up in a spray bottle and you spray it. It is not as strong as Febreze, but it smells good. You can pick your own scent, lavender or whatever else. I know this makes me sound very girly, man, but this is what I use. But there's another thing also. Every summer I run into this. I'm a dog and cat lover. I'm currently only a cat owner, as both of my dogs passed away last year, sadly. But my cat came in the other day, was scratching. Ugh, fleas. And I've been kind of worrying, you know, I usually, you know, you see fleas in the summertime when you've got animals that go inside and outside. And since we did not have a very harsh winter this past winter, I'm a little worried about the bug situation. But anyway, I saw my cat scratching the other day uncharacteristically, and I said, uh-oh, did a little search, and sure enough, there were a couple fleas on there. Here's something you can do if fleas come in your house. I don't want to set off a bomb in my house, one of these flea bombs. I've done it before. If I had a really bad infestation problem, I would do that, I guess. Almost nothing worse than fleas. I might avoid my house for a couple of days, but I try to avoid those things. You can do a flea trap. Have you ever heard of this? It is pretty amazing and so effective, particularly if you do it quickly. If you take a bowl or what I used is kind of a rectangle, plastic bin like a Tupperware, and put about an inch of water in there, and then put some dish soap in there and agitate it enough just so the dish soap combines with the water, not to be all sudsy. You can find this on YouTube. I think this is where I originally found it. But you get this thing, and I got a pretty good one. It's probably almost the size of a sheet of paper, an 8x11 or whatever, filled with water and enough dish soap to make the water infused with dish soap. And then you put a small light above it and put it somewhere near the floor or wherever you suspect fleas might be. The fleas will jump to the warmth and to the light of the light, fall into this mixture, and they become trapped in the water and detergent and liquid soap mix. And they drown. And it is wildly effective. And you will be pretty amazed when you try this. I found it kind of fascinating. A little gross.
If you have a real infestation, I've seen this in videos, it just looks like pepper along the bottom of these things. So many of these things jump in. But it's a way to avoid spreading a bunch of toxic chemicals all over the house, and it's incredibly effective. So if you start to see fleas, this is one way to jump on it. Also, I do top spot my cat, you know, with that stuff. It just seems to be the most effective thing to do for animals. I don't like it, but my cat has not had a reaction to it, and I have not found another. Apple cider vinegar, sometimes I'll coat my cat or my dogs in apple cider vinegar if I think they're going into a flea environment. That seems to kind of help with that. But it's a battle, but I do encourage you, try these flea traps. Pretty fascinating stuff. One other story I wanted to touch on real quick before we get into the meat of the show today. Now, I wasn't aware of, because I got to be honest with you, I don't follow a ton of popular culture stuff. But apparently, Adele, the singer, has lost weight. Now, you may or may not know this. I did not know this until the past week. But apparently, Adele, who was a rather portly singer with an absolutely stunningly beautiful voice that really burst onto the scene, what, 4, 5, 6 years ago? She's lost 100 pounds. And this came out. She didn't really go out and talk about it. She's not, you know, she's not Oprah. Everybody watching her weight come up, and she posted some pictures apparently, and everybody noticed, holy cow, she's lost a bunch of weight. I'm not going to get into exactly how Adele lost all of her weight. What I am going to get into is the reaction to it, which is really puzzling to me. Look, I think that anything when people talk about obesity or people losing weight, we live in a culture now where we're seeking ways to be offended. And so you end up in a situation of feeling like you're trying to dance around some idea of fat shaming, when it's just so obvious that being really overweight is just not healthy. It doesn't change who you are. You can be a fantastic person, and no bearing on that. But if your goal is health and moving through life as effortlessly as possible when it comes to your health, looking good, feeling good, then losing weight is a positive, particularly when it's done in a healthy way. So Adele loses this weight, and apparently an uproar comes up about it. Here are some of the tweets that went in response to it. Good morning. Deeply depressed by everyone fawning over Adele's weight loss, tweeted Marissa Cabas. The most impressive thing a woman can do is lose weight. Another blogger says, your weight doesn't determine your beauty. Your appearance doesn't determine your beauty. The number on the scale doesn't make you worthy or unworthy, which is all very true. But Adele's not out there trying to shame anybody. Adele took control of her own health and realized she's got a son now. She wants to feel better. She wants to live longer for her son. And so she's not out there preaching. It's just a picture was posted. She's lost some weight, and everybody's jumping on her. Here's one. To my fellow fats who were looking at everyone telling Adele how beautiful she is now that she's skinny, you're valid, beautiful, and celebrated at the weight you are now, all caps. You don't need an Adele moment to feel validated. You can achieve and be whatever you want to be right now. Another person said, the discourse on Adele is gross and riddled with fat shaming under the guise of, quote, concerns about health, unquote. And the belief that becoming thinner is the same as having a glow up. I don't even know what that means. I know this song and dance all too well. Y'all hate successful and happy fat people so much. No, nobody hates anybody who's any weight because of their weight. But it is not wrong to encourage people to be at a healthy weight. It is not to insult dumb people to say, some level of a quest for knowledge is a positive on your life. Here was Audra Williams says, celebrating Adele's weight loss is a garbage thing to do for a million reasons. Here's two. Number one, it tells your fat friends you think their bodies are a problem to be solved. And number two, the weight loss could be the result of physical or mental health struggles. Weird to cheer about. And this is society now where if you're fine with being overweight, then that's fine too. It's just the science doesn't really bear out that that's healthy for you. I don't judge anybody on their weight. If somebody wants to ask me ways that you can control your weight, I'm happy to provide them because I think it's a positive thing to do. It's not to denigrate anybody for it, but it is to be celebrated when somebody improves their health in any way. If you start taking vitamin D and you don't get as many colds and sniffles as you used to, and that will happen if you take vitamin D3, I will cheer you for your newfound health and your ability. It doesn't mean that I'm mad or shaming people who still get the flu. But we just have lived in a society now where it's just everything is aggressive towards someone because you celebrate somebody else's success. And for Adele to lose 100 pounds, and she is no waif right now, meaning she had 100 pounds to give, she is to be celebrated for that. That's a good move on her part. She's got a son. And if she wants to be around for that son and be in a good shape to play with him and keep up with him and all that stuff, that is all positive stuff. It is not to shame anybody, but it is to celebrate something like that. It just really, really struck me. When I saw that she'd lost the weight, I thought, well, that's just kind of good. It was kind of a side story to me. And then I saw the stories of all the hate being poured on her for daring to lose weight. A lot of people, more people could lose weight. To be honest with you, a lot of people don't do it because they don't really feel like they'd have the time, or that it's just too far away from them, or the pharmaceutical companies haven't solved it yet, so they haven't made it easy. It's really not that difficult. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. This is always within everybody's reach if you really want to make that a priority in your life. Anyway, I wanted to say that. When I come back, I want everybody to listen to this next clip very carefully. You may be familiar with the story, but boy, is it a perspective giver on where we are right now when it comes to COVID-19 and the hysterical reaction that we've had. These are just a couple of big aha moment type things that I think everybody should have. And then I'll tell you why a lot of people will not have the aha moment.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I try to draw a pretty bright line to distinguish between the political parts of this show and the health segment of this show. But I see a lot of similarities in our response to COVID-19. In politics, people wrap their entire personalities around a party or a candidate. And they shout from the highest treetop their support of this person. It is difficult to climb back down that tree when you realize you've been betrayed some way. It is the same with the COVID-19. You're either a lockdown person or you're a open up person now. The open up people say, and I am an open up person, say this is madness. We should be allowed to operate our businesses and travel about the country freely. We understand the dangers. We understand the concerns. We're fully functioning adults, and we will adjust our behaviors appropriately like we do when it rains and we're driving. The closed down people say, you're going to kill us all if you go back to work or open your business. And now everybody's identities are tied into this, and there's no turning back from these things. Once you really go all in with a politician or a policy or something like that, it is amazing to watch human beings be able to slap away the facts. You know, they don't matter anymore. I implore you not to be like that. To be a person who constantly is lurking for new information to either confirm or refute your pre-existing ideas. I do it all the time. A lot of things come up. COVID is one of them. When I saw them shutting down China, I said, uh-oh. Now, I got to be honest with you, I didn't really imagine it even getting to the United States, but I said, what is going on in China? They've locked down 700 million people at one time. I said, something must be going on. And then I heard about it here, and I said, uh-oh, it's here now. Judging what China did, they're not telling us something about this thing. I thought we'd be dropping dead in the streets. So I was fine with a stay-at-home order originally. We got to do something to flatten this curve, all that stuff. But as more information comes in, my mind, I reassess. And we've got to allow, whether it's political or health or any of this stuff. I used to be a huge fan of the pharmaceutical companies. In my 20s, I would have loved to have been a pharmaceutical sales rep. And no slam on anybody. I've got good friends who are pharmaceutical sales reps. And there are some pharmaceuticals out there for people that won't take control of their own health. The pharmaceuticals may make the difference between life or death or being able to get up in the morning. They're overused. And people aren't educated on how nutritionally they can solve so many more of their problems than a pharmaceutical can. But you know, I'm no longer a big fan of that industry because as I learned more about my own health, I realized, oh, this is kind of magical pill thinking, a pill for every ill. That doesn't work. So when I play this next piece, and this is about a modern-day pandemic very similar to what we're seeing right now, even those of you out there who were saying we need to lock down, even those of you in Jackson who support the mayor who say it's too soon, you do need to take in every fact you can in making those determinations because a lot of people's lives depend on it, not just people who might get COVID and be hospitalized, but also the people who are needing to earn a living. To my poor kids who I want to have the college experience and grow up into a fully functioning economy. There's a lot at stake with this stuff, so more information is better, and I hope people are of an open mind to all of it. This is a story from the American Institute of Economic Research, a libertarian-leaning outfit, I might point out, talking about the pandemic of 1968.
A longer text version is hosted at AIER.org, along with many other articles. Woodstock occurred in the middle of a pandemic.
Now, this bugs me just a little bit. I got to tell you, there's a debunking of this story that you're about to hear online, and it points that out. Woodstock happened in the middle of a pandemic is the title of the story. It didn't happen exactly in the middle of it. It is a little bit of clickbait to me. I'll be honest with you. I think it's a little disingenuous. But the rest of the story, and I did some fact-checking on it last night, too, when I first ran across this, is true.
By Jeffrey Tucker. In my lifetime, there was another deadly flu epidemic in the United States. The flu spread from Hong Kong to the United States, arriving December 1968 and peaking a year later. It ultimately killed 100,000 people in the U.S., mostly over the age of 65, and 1 million worldwide. Lifespan in the U.S. in those days was 70, whereas it is 78 today. Population was 200 million as compared with 328 million today. If it would be possible to extrapolate the death data based on population and demographics, we might be looking at 250,000 deaths today from this virus. So in terms of lethality, it was as deadly and scary as COVID-19, if not more so, though we shall have to wait to see. In 1968, says Nathaniel L. Moir in National Interest, the H3N2 pandemic killed more individuals in the U.S. than the combined total number of American fatalities during both the Vietnam and Korean Wars. And this happened in the lifetimes of every American over 52 years of age. I was 4 years old and have no memory of this at all. My mother vaguely remembers being careful and washing surfaces and encouraging her mom and dad to be careful. Otherwise, it's mostly forgotten today. Why is that? Nothing closed. Schools stayed open. All businesses did too. You could go to the movies. You could go to bars and restaurants. John Fun has a friend who reports having attended a Grateful Dead concert. In fact, people have no memory or awareness that the famous Woodstock concert of August 1969 actually occurred during a deadly American flu pandemic that only peaked 6 months later. Stock markets didn't crash. Congress passed no legislation. The Federal Reserve did nothing. Not a single governor acted to enforce social distancing, curve flattening, even though hundreds of thousands of people were hospitalized, or banning of crowds. No mothers were arrested for taking their kids to other homes. No surfers were arrested. No daycares were shut, even though there were more infant deaths with this virus than the one we are experiencing now. There were no suicides, no unemployment, no drug overdoses. Media covered the pandemic, but it never became a big issue. As Bojan Panchevsky in the Wall Street Journal points out, in 1968 to 70, news outlets devoted cursory attention to the virus while training their lenses on other events, such as the moon landing and the Vietnam War, and the cultural upheaval of the civil rights movements, student protests, and the sexual revolution. The only actions governments took was to collect data, watch and wait, encourage testing and vaccines, and so on. The medical community took the primary responsibility for disease mitigation, as one might expect. It was widely assumed that diseases require medical, not political responses. It's not as if we had governments unwilling to intervene in other matters. We had the Vietnam War, social welfare, public housing, urban renewal, and the rise of Medicare and Medicaid. We had a president swearing to cure all poverty, illiteracy, and disease. Government was as intrusive as it had ever been in history, but for some reason there was no thought given to shutdowns, which raises the question, why was this different? We will be trying to figure this one out for decades. Was the difference that we have mass media invading our lives with endless notifications blowing up in our pockets? Was there some change in philosophy such that we now think politics is responsible for all existing aspects of life? Was there a political element herein that the media blew this wildly out of proportion as revenge against Trump and his deplorables? Or did our excessive adoration of predictive modeling get out of control to the point that we let a physicist with ridiculous models frighten the world's governments into violating the human rights of billions of people? Maybe all of these were factors, or maybe there is something darker and nefarious at work, as the conspiracy theorists would have it. Regardless, they all have some explaining to do. The contrast between 1968 and 2020 couldn't be more striking. They were smart, we are idiots, or at least our governments are.
Amen. This is even more striking when you look at this. In February of 1957, a new influenza A, H2N2 virus, emerged in East Asia, triggering a pandemic. This is called the Asian flu at the time, 1957. This H2N2 virus was comprised of three different genes from an H2N2 virus that originated from an avian influenza A virus. It was first reported to Singapore in February of 1957, Hong Kong in April 1957, and in coastal cities in the United States in the summer of 1957. The estimated number of deaths was 1.1 million worldwide and 116,000 in the United States. Like the current pandemic, there was a demographic pattern to the deaths. It hit the elderly population with heart and lung disease. In a frightening twist, the virus could also be fatal for pregnant women. This kind of struck me because my sister was born in 1959, so my mother was pregnant during this time. The infection rate was probably even higher than the Spanish flu of 1918. 675,000 Americans died from that. But this lowered the overall case fatality rate to 0.67%. A vaccine became available in late 1957, but was not even widely distributed. Now listen to what took place in there. You know, we hear in a lot of these stories, well, they didn't shut everything down. A couple of organizations did make some alterations to their plans based on this. The October 1957 LDS General Conference, I'm assuming that's Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, was canceled because of the flu epidemic in 1957, and there may have been other organizations that did so. See, the Mormons decided, hey, there's a bug going around. Might not be a great time for a ton of our congregants to all be in one single building due to this bug going around. Let's hang off a year. And they did so. The New York Times had some but not much coverage. On September 18th, 1957, an editorial counsel, quote, "Let us all keep a cool head about Asian influenza as the statistics on the spread and the virulence of the disease begin to accumulate." What didn't happen in 1957, 1958? Elvis didn't take to the television to tell us to all stay at home and close our businesses. And think about this as well. During these times, there were far fewer hospitals back then. You would think, although I might debate this point, you would think that medicine has made leaps and bounds since the 1950s, right? So we should be more prepared for it on a health basis. I mean, with the billions of dollars we've given to the CDC and the FDA over the years, certainly anything that happened in 1957 and 1968. And the thing is that this virus from 1957, they say, mutated and culminated in the 1968, meaning this thing hung around for 10 years in varying degrees of severity, finally peaking out in 1968. 10 years. We closed nothing. We, as a matter of fact, built the strongest economic engine the world had ever seen. This is when the middle class was exploding with prosperity, the 1950s, 1960s. And we lived through it. And let me just say this, too. We did this without a vaccine. How about that? This thing did what viruses do. People were healthier back then, I will grant you. Obesity level was a fraction of what it was. Heart disease, fraction of what it was. High blood pressure, a fraction of what it is right now. The difference is now that the medical model is a massive profit-making machine. Healthcare wasn't even as expensive back then as it is now. So what we have got now is not a dramatically increased danger to our society from a virus. What we have is a dramatically lowered bar for what we're able to accept as risk in our life. This is not at all about the disease. This is not about a pandemic. This is not about a virus. This is about Americans and really people around the world understanding that life comes with risks, educating yourself and moving about your life, accepting those risks and taking the appropriate precautions on an individual basis. Is that perfect? Nope. People die. People die of all kinds of different causes. But it is very telling to me, and this should be an aha moment. As I say, I'll tell you why people won't have an aha moment, why people will refuse to accept this information, because now they are vested in this is the zombie apocalypse. This is terrible. We can't open schools. We can't open business. We all need to hunker down. They have gone to Facebook to post about how evil the open up people are. Now, let me tell you this too. If something comes that's really bad, if we start seeing people drop in the streets, then I will, at that point, maybe change my opinion. I'll still say it probably should be voluntary, but I'd be of the opinion that I need to stay in my house. As of right now, I'm not. See, I will adjust with the facts on the ground. But most people are so vested in their politicians, in their parties, that they will not accept that new information is in and a new perspective can be gained and change accordingly. We've gone a little bit insane here, and I would hope any thinking person could look at this and say, particularly with this kind of historical context, and the thing that cracks me up, or it makes me befuddled, why isn't Donald Trump talking about this? We've heard enough about the Spanish flu. It killed 675,000 Americans. It seems like that's the bar we've set. This thing and Spanish flu killed six. We're leaving out what are very similar outbreaks in a much more recent time that's much more comparable. We don't seem to want to point that out. Why is that? This seems like what should be Trump's main talking point, should be Tate Reeves' main talking point. Hey, we've lived through modern pandemics very similar to this before. We educated our people. Some people died. It was a bad season. Take your own precautions, but we're not about to alter the entire country, both financially and socially, based on something we've already lived through two times within the last 60 years. Anyway, hopefully, we can start to see this with the proper historical perspective. I've got a couple of things. If you're worried, and you should be concerned about your health overall, no matter whether it's this or just the regular flu or just day-to-day, I've got a couple of other little tips that are, you know, information that they will not cover when they're talking about remdesivir and vaccines and everything the pharmaceutical companies make money off of. There's a lot of things at your fingertips that can make a difference today. Stay with me.
You know that friend that's eating healthy, or as they put it, eating clean? They're overly concerned with eating habits, especially yours. They cite the latest health studies, the ones that change weekly. Eggs are good? No bad. No wait, eggs are good. Instead, maybe you should listen to what your own body is saying about your health and well-being.
Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Now I'm calling all citizens from all over the world. This is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it is our Hump Day Health segment. Let me clarify something. I got called out. I needed to give an executive producer credit to my former business partner, David, the titan of industry that he is, that forwarded me that information on the previous pandemics yesterday. I don't know why he feels the need to get attention for doing that, you know, but of course, I host a radio show for 2 hours a day, so if there's anybody who's desperate for attention, I guess that would be me. Anyway, I do appreciate it. Thank you for everybody who sends me stuff like that. Sometimes it's amazing that I miss things. Jim Thorne has talked about these pandemics before on his show prior to me, but the article that David sent me was so good because it had that good audio explanation of exactly what had transpired before. I love some of the stories that I see are surrounding this because, you know, for somebody into natural health stuff, there's a lot of articles out there, if you're willing to look for them, about, you know, little tips and tricks around the coronavirus. Here was one yesterday that was in the Daily Mail. Male coronavirus patients with low testosterone levels are more, all capital letters, likely to die from COVID-19, a German hospital found. German hospital assessed the hormone levels of 45 COVID-19 patients in ICU, found that the vast majority of men admitted had low testosterone levels. Testosterone may be able to stop the body's immune system from going haywire. Low levels of the sex hormone are unable to regulate the body's immune response, leading to a cytokine storm, which can be fatal. Guys, your moobs are killing you. I've done entire shows. I've already told you about your moobs. And this is the man boobs that people get when they have an overproduction of estrogen and low testosterone. Testosterone's a serious thing. We've talked about it a lot on the show. I kind of poke fun at it because I just love the term moobs so much. But seriously, obviously testosterone, and there's things you can do to naturally boost your testosterone. Don't have time to get into it today. Exercise, weightlifting is one of the things. And then there's certainly foods. And avoid the soy. Get off the soy. And trust me, just do a fun experiment this next week. I guess it would have been more fun. I should have had you doing this for the last 6 weeks since the only place you could go was a grocery store. But every product that you pick up that's in a box or a bag, see how many of them contain some form of soy. I'm going to say 96%. Soy lectin, soy protein, soy isolate. Just look at them. It's soy is in everywhere, is in everything, and it is said to be an estrogen mimicker. So testosterone is one thing to look at. The other one is, and I'm going to spend probably the rest of the show on this little nugget because, again, new people listen to the show, and this isn't a total repetition of what I've done before, but vitamin D, people, please. I know they've told you to run from the sun. They've told us for the last 30 years that the sun is out to destroy us all. Make sure you don't get in the sun for even a minute. Run away. Get an umbrella. Get long sleeves. Get a big floppy hat. Stay away from the sun. Well, now we've got a chronic deficiency of vitamin D in our society. A new study conducted at Northwestern University concludes that vitamin D may be an essential ingredient to protecting oneself from the coronavirus. Research team discovered a strong correlation between vitamin D deficiencies and mortality rates. According to the study, the lower the vitamin D levels present in a patient's body, the more likely that person will develop severe symptoms and complications. This thing goes down into the research I won't really get into. But again, vitamin D is so vitally important to your immune system. I got to take a break. I went a little bit long last segment. I'm going to come back with our buddy Josh Axe to tell you a little bit about vitamin D. And one of the reasons I talk about this is, number one, it's so important. It's why I've done probably three or four shows largely dedicated to vitamin D over the last 3 years. And it's so cheap. You get 20 minutes of sun, 20 minutes in the sunshine. So that's free. So far, they have not found a way to charge us or tax us on the sun. So it's literally free. And if not, if you need to supplement with a good quality, and I always say that, good quality vitamin D3 supplement, it is like $5 a month to really get a good dose of vitamin D. And let me say this one more time. They have done research that has shown in peer-reviewed papers that I believe last time I referenced them were on PubMed, where they found that women who had high vitamin D levels reduced their chance of getting breast cancer by 80%. That's 80. Again, I don't know why this isn't on billboards and on every doctor's office wall, but it's not. Matter of fact, I haven't been to a doctor in quite a while because I haven't needed one. When's the last time a doctor recommended you get your vitamin D levels tested? Is this something that they do? I don't think so. But boy, it sure does sound like it's important. And again, it's about $5 a month or a little bit of free sunshine. If you just get off the idea that the sun is out to destroy us all, does that make any logical sense to anybody? Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424. Final segment. I've horribly mismanaged my time today. I don't have a ton of time for this last clip, but I'm going to let Dr. Axe play us out here on vitamin D because this is one of the simplest things you can do for your health. I don't know if it's contraindicated for any medication, so do your own research on vitamin D, but good Lord, it comes from the sun, people, if you will embrace that. But vitamin D is important. This is not even talking about coronavirus. This is just general good health effects of having proper vitamin D levels.
Hey, guys, Dr. Axe here. I want to talk about the many benefits of vitamin D as well as vitamin D deficiency. And so many people are struggling with vitamin D deficiency. In fact, according to a lot of medical studies today, they're showing that quite possibly the top deficiency we have in America is a vitamin D deficiency. And for a lot of us, there are several reasons for that. But
because they told us to run away from the sun for the last 30 years. That's why.
Talk about the symptoms of vitamin D deficiency. I'm then going to get into what's causing vitamin D deficiency, then go over the best foods, supplements, and things you can do to correct this type of issue. But first and foremost, you know, the big thing that can cause or the big symptoms you might have with a vitamin D deficiency are immune issues. If you have a weakened immune system, that could be correlated with a vitamin D deficiency. If you have candida or bacterial overgrowth, it can be caused from a vitamin D deficiency. If you struggle with, let's say, emotional ups and downs like depression and anxiety, that can be a cause. Hormone imbalance, major cause of vitamin D deficiency. If you have trouble putting on muscle or losing weight, those are all correlated with a vitamin D deficiency. If you have weak bones or teeth, osteoporosis or osteopenia, those are warning signs you have a vitamin D deficiency. So again, you can see there are a lot of things, and I didn't even get into certain other things like cancer and diabetes and heart disease, but those are all warning signs you could have a vitamin D deficiency. And vitamin D is responsible for really supporting a healthy immune response, digestive health, hormone balance. And here's a key thing to remember. Vitamin D is not just a vitamin. It's also a pro-hormone. And so it's responsible for so many hormone-producing reactions within your body. You've got to have vitamin D. Now, here are the biggest causes of vitamin D deficiency. Number one is not getting enough sunlight. The sun should be your number one source of vitamin D. And we live in a world today where we live inside, especially if you're in the northern states, whether it be, you know, in Canada or northern U.S. or northern Europe. But if you are not getting outside enough and not getting enough direct sunlight on your skin, that will create a vitamin D deficiency. So starting off, the majority of people are vitamin D deficient because we don't get outside enough. And the other thing can be certain chemicals, especially things that are plastic in nature, those can block vitamin D absorption. So if you're drinking out of plastic bottles that have something called BPA, that's bisphenol A, that can cause vitamin D deficiency and really affect the way vitamin D is absorbed and utilized and created by your liver and your body. The other thing is toxicity. If you're exposed to toxins on a regular basis, that affects the liver. And then your liver is actually responsible for producing and creating vitamin D within your body. And so again, toxicity, another major cause of vitamin D deficiency. So if you want to start to correct vitamin D deficiency and see improvements in your immune function, in your metabolism, in your hormones and things like your thyroid and your adrenal glands and improving your overall mood and bone strength, you've got to get more vitamin D. And again, your number one source by far is sunlight. I recommend getting outside 20 minutes to 30 minutes every single day. Hey, even if it's cold outside, getting a little bit of sun on your face and hands, it's so important for getting vitamin D. So again, number one is get sunlight 20 to 30 minutes a day. Now, apart from that, certain foods will contain small amounts of vitamin D. Number one source will be wild-caught salmon or fish. So again, getting wild-caught fish on a regular basis. Also, raw fermented milk like a goat's milk yogurt may have small amounts of vitamin D, as will mushrooms and eggs. But again, you're going to get very small amount in diet. Those foods are good. But again, it's only small amounts of vitamin D. And then the next thing would be take a high-quality vitamin D supplement. And you don't want to take vitamin D2. You do want to start taking vitamin D3. And there are many forms of this. And there are several good brands out there today. But again, you can actually take it in a capsule form. You can actually get it in a spray bottle form. But again, vitamin D is essential to take as a supplement. And for most adults, 2,000 to 5,000 IUs a day is what's recommended. Now, if you have a severe deficiency and you've gone and got a vitamin D test done, in that case, for 1 to 2 months, you might take 5,000 IUs two times a day.
All at a time, but that's probably better information than anything that's come out of Anthony Fauci's mouth since this whole mess began. That's all the time I got today. Have a fantastic day. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.